Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Four on the line and six in the box. In motion comes Washington. Penix a play fake. Looks. Michael from the pocket. Back near side. Here's Robinson. He'll get the first down. 40. 35. 30. Bijan 25. 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown Atlanta. Oh boy. Third snap is a 50-yard pass. And Bijan Robinson houses it.
So good.
Injected into my veins.
It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is behind the glass. This segment is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. You just heard it. Bijan's touchdown to basically start the game yesterday between the Falcons and Bucks ended up being 23-20. Ultimately, Falcons did lose, but you two were there. What was that environment like when Bijan got that touchdown so early in the game?
Yeah, I was in the press box. Bo was standing right next to Wes as he's screaming that out. So,
yeah, I jumped up with a fist pump. And that was great. Look, I thought the fans were great yesterday.
I did too. Really impressed.
I remember I was texting with somebody who was there, and they were talking to, they were telling me where they were, and I was like, man, the building feels jacked right now. And this was early in the game. And it was cool. It was a really good moment. You just wish you could have. I mean, I think you did. I feel like you really controlled the first quarter completely. Your second drive was even good, and then it stalled out a little bit, and then it felt like you kind of went into a lull a little bit offensively, and that kind of killed it at times. But yeah, the crowd. You got to give the crowd credit. They were there. They were in their seats. They're ready to go, and you gave them something. And on that play, you think about that. They're looking to take a shot, and that's his third option, or his third progression, if you will. And that was Bijan, and even Bijan thought about it. Like, he knows if it's not there, he's got me as the outlet, and that's the actual playmaking ability with the big threat stuff. We've seen Bijan in other instances, but the big threat stuff, home run capability we've been looking for with Bijan. That was a very Anton Smith-esque touchdown. Make a guy miss, put your foot down, make another cut, and then you put your foot down again and outrun people.
Yeah, and look, Grant and I talked about this on postgame last night after, which one do we think he's going to be thinking more about, the 50-yard touchdown or the dropped ball on the check down later on in the game?
The drop.
It's the drop.
100%.
It's 100% the drop. And we know the representative that Bijan is, and he mentioned it in his postgame presser. And, Bo, I know you were right there talking to him when he was talking to Dave Archer in that conversation. He's like, my teammates feed off of my positive energy, so I got to continue to exude that. I thought that was such a great cut from him because I agree. I think his teammates do feed off of his positive energy. And unfortunate. And did he also have a fumble early in the game, or was that a missed handoff?
He did. It looked like a pitch, actually.
Okay.
And he took his eyes off the ball.
Okay.
Fell back on it. It's the exact same thing he did with that. The drop catch,
yes.
The drop pass.
Yep.
You can't drop a catch because
right.
you don't complete it.
Yeah.
But that drop pass is he took his eyes off the ball and he's looking to make a move. That's just trying to do too much. And you love the fact that that's where he's at, but you also have to do the little things. You have to crawl before you can walk or whatever that saying is.
Well, I'm not sure which play it was. It was one of those two that you guys were just talking about where Bijan dropped it and you would expect like an emotional reaction or like shoot, like something.
Right.
And he got just like clapped. He was like, let's go. And just like got back into it. I loved seeing that.
On the flip side, you watch Younghoe Koo after he missed the field goal. Ooh. He's going to need a new helmet. I don't know if y'all caught the end of that.
He might not need a new helmet.
That's true. He might just be to turn that one in. No, I watched him. He spiked his helmet off the ground. I was like, that's going to need a new face mask or at least ear pads. You know what I mean? Because that's definitely the hardest that helmet's ever been hit.
Let's address that real quick. I know I've gotten multiple tweets, texts, in-person conversations about there needs to be a move made immediately. The reality is, I'm not sure it is week one, or it was. I'm not disagreeing with your thoughts, okay? I just want everybody to know, I'm not disagreeing. I'm not agreeing. I'm just saying that I'm not sure if that happens yet. Maybe they bring someone in, a couple of people, and try them out.
Yeah.
But I think, and I know that we're thinking about last season, and that's fine, but I do believe that most times, and you're a guy that played on teams, and you can talk to this more than me, that there's going to be a hesitation to make a move after week one.
Sure.
I'm not saying there should or shouldn't. I'm just saying that's the reality of it. I'm trying to be real. Everybody wants to be real, and until it doesn't fit narratives, I'm just not sure if they would do it. Not saying they shouldn't, just saying I'm not sure if they will.
Yeah, and I don't know if they will either. Do I think they should? Personally, yes. And I am the last person to talk about doing that, to, you know, getting rid of guys after 1 week. But, man, I look no further than the Buffalo game last night. You know how long Matt Prater was on the Buffalo Bills before he hit that game winner? Like 3 days.
I don't even know if it's that long. Yeah. I think he might have flew in that night.
Yeah, I mean, it was literally they signed him off the street. He's an 18-year veteran, and he comes in and buries a game winner. Like, his teammates are celebrating. They don't even know him. They're celebrating with him. And I just thought to myself, that must be a good feeling. You know what I mean? You weren't even part of that team just a couple of days ago. You bury a game winner, and you're Mr. Dependable. And so do I think kickers are a dime a dozen? I absolutely do not, especially not the clutch ones. But we can't continue to go down this route where we have him cost us opportunities at winning games that will lead to a playoff berth. And I don't think anybody in that organization, unless they were lying to you, would say that they had faith in him making a kick at the end of the game right now.
Look, I will be 100% honest with you. When it used to be a thing, when Koo went on the field, I felt good.
Yeah.
And then last year it was like, I think he's got it. And this year, the faith is not there. There's no doubt about it. Look, in kickers, you have no faith in a kicker until they do it, and then until they show you that they can't do it, you have complete faith, because that's just the nature of that position.
And what did we say every time he missed a kick last year? Well, it might be hurt. There's a groin, hip injury, whatever it may be. Dude,
well,
we're fresh. We're week one.
And you know, normally when he misses, he pushes it left. That was a shank. That thing went off to the right. I don't know what was.
Slice it. We'll fade.
I mean,
y'all think maybe it could have been a situation of too much adrenaline? I mean, you know, there was a kick competition, you know, quote unquote kick competition this year. I mean, I know he's a professional, but
he's never not. I mean, he's been in that situation before, though.
It's not like he hadn't been
there. He's not a rookie in his first game. Like, Younghoe Koo's made those field goals in the past. And I guess what? It doesn't get any easier. So if it is an adrenaline issue, that just adds to the problem. You know what I mean?
If suddenly the kicker has adrenaline, you know, and nerves and anxiousness and it shakes, and he's done. So get him out of there. Like, if kickers feel something before a kick, that's one of those things, kind of like, you know, if you're feeling any type of energy that's not just right, that relaxed thing, normally that's kind of a position to me that's bad. Am I wrong on that? Like, that's not a position like a linebacker where that energy helps you.
I think you're spot on.
Well,
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Make sure to let us know how you're feeling today about that Falcons game, 404-726-0929. We have the wake-up call coming up at 8 a.m. You can sound off about those Falcons. Real quick before we get too mic'd up, I do want to mention Ohio State has claimed the number one spot in the AP poll. Georgia beat Austin Peay 28-6 after a slow start, but go Dogs regardless. Georgia Tech beat Gardner-Webb 59-12, and we're also going to figure out who won Man Up Monday this week at 8 a.m.? Do either of you have any clue yet how that has panned out?
I think I hit at least one, so that's good. as opposed to last week, I hit zero. Right. I think I got at least one.
It's
right.
Only up from there.
Yeah, it can only go up from going 0-4 last week. Yeah. But that's why we call it Man Up Monday. Yeah. If we were just parading around our wins, then we wouldn't call it Man Up Monday.
It's early in the season, but I think I've made people money.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, and you talked about this last week. Whenever you're gambling, you can kind of go pick the ones and be a little bit more picky about which ones you're going to actually put money on. When we're all picking the same four every week, it's like, dude, this is the great equalizer. Like, I'm not picking these lines. I probably wouldn't put money on most of the ones we've talked about. So, you're right, though. Allie, to go back to it real quick before we get mic'd up, Ohio State 2-0, obviously going to claim the number one ranking in the AP poll. You know, Penn State at number two, I think a lot of people, and I know Bo's been kind of on this conversation and talking to Phil Steele all the way back a month ago. It's an interesting thing the way this, you know, these top teams are starting to kind of separate themselves, and we see the ups and the downs of the college football season and how these teams start to line up. You go all the way back to, you know, like, did South Florida finally get in it this week? Because they've beat two top 25 teams.
Yeah, they're in it.
Yeah, they're at 18 right now. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. And Ole Miss avoids the collapse they had last year against Kentucky, and they continue to stay in the top 20 as well. So a lot of good stuff coming from college football. There's no doubt about it. I don't know which ones you were able to watch on Saturday, Bo, but I didn't. I was at the Monster Truck Rally instead of watching the Bama game. And evidently, Bama played as close to a perfect game as you can, although it be it against Louisiana Monroe. But I wasn't watching every snap of that one.
Yeah, I watched that Cy-Hawk Trophy game. Well, that was a good game.
That was a good game.
Iowa and Iowa State is always the exact same game every year. It's like in the teens, and they play. The both teams are so good defensively. The tight ends for Iowa State are always pretty good. One Arch and I were talking about this. One kid is probably gonna, NFL type guy, but the other one, number 84, he made a couple of catches yesterday. I mean, in that game on that final drive, that was phenomenal. The Ole Miss Kentucky game was a lot more back and forth than people realize.
Yeah, it was.
And you know that was a fun game to watch. And I watched Florida USF.
Okay. Yeah, that was a tough one. Florida USF. I know that a lot of people were tweeting me about you. I'll tell you who else almost caught an L, too. You want to talk about closer than you imagine? I thought Troy was going to beat Clemson the entire game.
Yeah.
The entire game, I thought Troy was going to beat Clemson. They played a tough brand of football. Clemson pulls away right there in the fourth quarter, but that one was a close one. All right, let's hit this mic'd up, Dylan. As always, mic'd up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. Crazy weekend in the Johnson household. Had my parents in and my mother-in-law in as well, because my son was starting his T-ball journey. It was a little bit hectic. If you followed this saga, last year we tried to sign him up for T-ball as a four-year-old, and about 10 minutes in, he panicked. He started crying. He escaped the field. He ran to mommy's arms.
Aww.
The exact same thing happened this time. He was running bases for the very first thing he'd ever done. He was running bases, and he didn't hit first base. And a couple of the older kids kind of chuckled,
no.
That he didn't touch first base. So he ran towards mommy. He ran towards the fence. What did I do? I went over there and I plucked him right off that fence. I said, absolutely not. We are not doing this again. Got him right back in line. He tucked that lip in, went through the rest of practice, and he had an absolutely good time.
Okay, good.
So, yes.
But he jacked those other kids for laughing.
No, well, they're like high schoolers that were there helping out. You know, they're like, oh, yeah, that's not going to – he's going to probably be out, guys. So it kind of is what it is. I put a picture of it on my story, at MPJohnson79 on Instagram. My daughter's starting ballet as well. Like, aww, this whole family saga is what it is. As a payoff to him, we took him to Monster Jam on Saturday night. Insane. We were at the Gas South Arena up in Duluth, took him to Monster Jam, danced the whole time. I got him a monster truck toy.
Gravedigger.
Yeah, exactly. Gravedigger was there. El Toro Loco. There's just a bunch of them. It was a really, really cool time. Small venue, but man, they made it a lot worth it. Had a couple cool wrecks. He thought it was the coolest thing ever. One of them flipped.
Yeah.
Now, losing his mind. We had a great weekend.
He does know that after every practice, he doesn't get to go to Monster Jam, right?
I hope so. And it's fall ball, so it's like six practices. But nonetheless, man, he had a great weekend. I was glad we got through that first one. And, yeah, I'm going to have to break it to him that next week he doesn't get to go to Monster Trucks. But really, really fun, man. And ended up, obviously, at Mercedes-Benz yesterday for the Falcons game. I know we lost, but I do want to say the same thing that Bo said. I thought the crowd was phenomenal. So shout out to Falcons fans for getting it done yesterday. But, yeah, fun weekend in the Johnson house, and hopefully we're on to weekend number two of T-ball. So we'll see what happens.
Was it hard on you, though, to see your kids kind of growing up like this?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Was it hard on me? I think I had a harder time at T-ball than he did. Yeah. He was taking instruction very well from the coaches out there, and it, I mean, will put you away. As a dad who knows his son is timid and has never done this before, and he's like, he looked at me at one point. The coach coached him and then walked off, and he looked at me and he goes, "Daddy, is this right?" Like the way he was holding the ball, and I was like, "Yes, buddy, that's the way to do it." Okay, you're doing a great job. So yeah, just a fun weekend, man. The Johnsons had a an action-packed, electric weekend. So we're doing good over in my way.
Love it. Love it. Well, coming up, it is Man Up Monday. Mike and Bo have to man up to their picks from Friday. Plus, we've got the wake-up call. This is where you get to react about that Falcons game yesterday. 404-726-0929. Take over the show. We want to hear all your thoughts about yesterday's game. 404-726-0929. You can also tweet us at 929-MORNINGSHIFT. Man Up Monday and the wake-up call are next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.